Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I don't know. But, you know.
Really? I get it. I teach middle school, so I rarely know how I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this is, you know, we're getting back going with the podcast here. I'm assuming you saw my post on Instagram.
Yeah, I did. Yep.
I'm trying to, like, slowly walk right into this animal encounter. What happened?
Okay.
Where were you?
I was getting my camping equipment from my old house, and this is a small animal. It's not like a big scary, well, it's scary, but I picked up a tote bag, and I placed the tote bag in my car, and just as I placed it in my car, a mouse ran out. And there was evidence that it was living there. Like, I had some suckers in the back, and like there were papers that were chewed up and everything. So, I knew that I was living with a mouse. Like, it was driving around with me.
Ugh.
But this is where it takes a dark turn.
Oh my goodness.
So yesterday, I have one of those blenders that you make a smoothie, and like the smoothie cup, you just take that with you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a cap on it,
yeah.
And the cap had a little hole. Well, I brought the smoothie cup in to my house, and I was going to rinse it out in the sink, and the dead mouse plopped into my sink. So
that's unfortunate.
That was traumatic.
That is unfortunate. You know, I had a similar thing in Joshua Tree.
Really?
Yeah, we had like some sort of pitcher of liquid outside of the place, and a mouse was drowned in it in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, like, I felt bad.
Same.
That the mouse drowned in my, like, it wasn't my care, but still, like, it was because of me, because I left my smoothie cup there. I'm also very glad that the mouse no longer lives in my car.
Not to play mouse's advocate, but not only did you have a smoothie, you also had lollipops. It's almost as if you were creating a mouse habitat intentionally. I thought you were saying,
yeah,
you know, mice chew wires in cars, because people do really struggle with that. It's
right. No, I know. And that was one thing I was worried about with it living in there. You know, I teach, like I said, I teach middle school. And so the lollipops were in there because I needed to take them into the school.
There's no excuse for that. No, I'm just kidding. The crazy thing is, like, can you imagine a mouse eating a lollipop? That has to be so cute.
I don't think mice are cute.
Was it a dum-dum? I want to imagine a tiny lollipop.
It was a dum-dum.
Oh!
No, you are painting a nice picture. Like, I see what you're saying. I actually have other animal encounters now that I am unpacking this a little bit.
Yeah. Because, this is what happens. You recover more memories.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a red-tailed hawk that lives in my backyard in a cage because I hunt with it. And so I am around mice a lot because, like, I'll feed them mice, feed her mice. But, like, I don't handle live ones so much.
So you're feeding dead mice. So did you feed that one dead mouse to your eagles?
No. I actually, like, made some gagging noises and asked my son to dispose of it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why that one traumatized me, but, like, I go in my deep freeze and grab a mouse and take it.
I need to back up. What do you hunt and with what? You hunt what with hawks?
Have you ever heard of falconry?
Yes.
Okay, so I do that.
That's cool.
And I hunt for rabbits and squirrels with her, and then I just feed them to her. I don't eat any of that stuff.
So what's in it for you?
I'm sorry?
What's in that for you?
It's like having a wild animal fly up to you and, like, gently land on your hand is amazing.
But with, like, a dead rabbit?
It doesn't bring it back to you. You have to go and find it.
You have to, like, trek through the mountains where it left it? Do other animals ever steal it?
No, they don't. Like, everybody's scared of hawks, so they tend to stay away from, like, it happens in a matter of, like, minutes.
Is a hawk the same as a falcon? Now I'm confused.
No, they're not the same. I mean, they're both birds of prey.
For sure.
But I don't have all the scientific knowledge to sound smart.
I mean, I know
about
that,
this,
that some hotels use falcons to get rid of seagulls and things like that.
That's abatement. Mm-hmm. Falcons get other birds. I don't want to talk like I know what I'm, I don't want to say anything because.
Okay. Bye.
I don't know. I don't know enough.
Well, listen, thank you for your call. Good luck killing animals with other animals. It sounds like a peaceful life. And hopefully we'll speak again in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Toodaloo.
Bye.
All right. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I can't believe I got through.
I can't either. Now, your name is popping up as C. Vivian. It's giving me like a lady in a velvet dress. And, you know, it's like very dramatic.
Exactly. Yeah. You've got it.
All right.
Exactly.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. So you're calling presumably because you've been in some type of wild animal encounter.
Yes.
What happened? Where was it?
Okay.
How did you feel? What was the insane conclusion?
I feel like, I don't know if this really counts as totally going awry, but I did end up accidentally snorkeling with a great white shark a few years ago.
Okay, so you were snorkeling. At what point did you realize that there had been great white sharks?
Well, I was snorkeling around and I had a group, but I had kind of swam away from them.
Mm-hmm.
And there were little reef sharks everywhere. They were kind of smaller sharks, you know,
right.
They kind of had a long, slender body.
Yeah.
And I was looking out kind of into the distance. It's tough to judge distance when you're underwater like that. I don't know if you've been snorkeling, but it was new for me.
Yeah, I did
and
a little bit.
This huge shape came in front of me, just kind of passed right in front of me. And I thought for a minute, I was really confused about the distance.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite understand what I was seeing because it was so dark. But it looked like it was definitely a shark. And it looked so different from the other sharks I'd seen because it had this huge, like, barrel chest.
It has
like a really big chest. Like the other sharks are much more slender looking.
Okay.
And so as it passed me by, I realized it was actually really close to me.
Yeah.
And that it was like about 20 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
And we were like near the surface, but its fin wasn't above the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept thinking, my brain was like, this isn't happening. Like, it's not a great white shark because it's not white. But the thing is, when you're like on level with them, they're just dark gray. You know, you only see the white if you're underneath them. So it was like this big, huge, dark gray shark that passed in front of me. And then as it turned away, it like swam in the opposite direction from me and it moved its fin really slowly, but it disappeared really fast.
That's
which
scary.
I learned afterwards is like the way that it works underwater. Like the larger the object, the slower the fins have to move.
Weird. Creepy. All of it creepy. Yeah. I mean, I've been watching a lot of docuseries about horrible things happening to people. And one of them is called I Was Prey. I mean, I'm going to say I wish I was hosting I Was Prey because there's a lot I would like to ask people that is not happening. And there's very slow reaction videos and things. I mean, just reenactments and stuff. So I can't, while I cannot fully endorse the show I Was Prey, I think it was on there that someone was talking about being attacked by a great white. And it's like, they describe it as just being hit by a wall out of nowhere, you know, which it all,
wow, yeah,
it syncs up with what you're saying. Sounds like you're lucky to be alive.
I really feel like I am. It actually took me a really long time to accept what had happened because I just couldn't, I don't know. I'm glad that I didn't really realize it right away because if I had realized it in the moment, I would have started thrashing around, you know, so like it might have caught the shark's attention.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel really lucky that I didn't have to actually like face it head on or get chomped.
Yeah, that's terrifying. Well, listen, we're glad you're with us. Okay. Do you still snorkel?
I don't have the opportunity to where I live. So no, I haven't since then.
But would you?
I absolutely would. Yes.
Wow. So you have not learned your lesson. Okay. Just writing notes now for your case file. Maybe you can call back with an actual attack next time.
All right. Okay.
All right. Well, what a journey. Well, thank you. Thank you. KIT as always.
Thank you.
And, Peace be with you and peace on earth as well.
Thank you so much for bringing back the show.
Oh my gosh. Thank you for calling. Toodaloo. Don't know where my out of time gotta go button is. Hello, this is Chelsea Peretti.
Hi.
How are you?
This is Chelsea. Also, my name is Chelsea.
What?
I know, crazy, right?
What?
Chelsea, do you want to hear my animal story?
Yeah.
When I was a child, a squirrel ran into our house and it got in my toilet.
The drum roll worked perfectly with that. Oh my gosh.
And my brother screamed like a little girl and he like literally ran out of the house. Didn't see him for hours. He was very scared.
So what happened to the squirrel? I'm less concerned about your brother.
So, fair. And as you should be, my mother's a registered nurse. So she went into her like nurse bag, got some blue gloves and stuck her ass in her hands in the toilet. She didn't stick her ass in. She took her hands in the toilet.
That'd be
got
really
the little
crazy.
Guy out and it scratched her. Then she had to go get a rabies shot. But long story short, he ran right back out the door. He came in. Never saw that guy again either.
She's a registered nurse and the way she deals with stuff is by sticking her ass in it. Like she's like, oh, I have to draw some blood.
I don't
blood.
Know why I said ass. I meant hands.
I have to draw some blood. I'm just going to stick my ass on your arm real quick. I'm just a registered nurse. This is what we do.
Wait, I'm such a fan. This is wild. Are you a Chels or a Chell? What do you, what?
Honestly,
Chelsea to Chelsea.
I'll really take it all at this point. Wait,
yeah,
did
fair.
You?
I prefer Chelsea because it's just one more syllable.
Right.
Yeah.
Did you say what happened to the squirrel?
He did run out the door. We left the door open and he ran right out.
Were there cute little wet squirrel footprints all over your house?
I mean, guaranteed, yeah. And then my mother's blood just trailed after it.
Do you know that?
That crazy old girl.
Your mom's, what do you call it? Shit streaks?
Literally.
Is that appropriate?
Poor mom. My mom is going to be, well, it's a good thing to know what podcasts are. She would be so humiliated. But no, she had to go. So she worked at the hospital and then she called and said, I got to come get a rabies shot. A squirrel scratched me. You can't get rabies from a scratch.
Wait, okay, hold on. Your mom didn't know that?
I don't, she's not, listen, it was the 90s. These were different times. It was you know.
So she went to the ER and they're like, Miss, you're a nurse. You're usually doing the intake on this kind of
thing. I know, right? Imagine they fired her. They're like, you're too dumb.
It feels like you skipped a couple chapters in mid school.
Yeah, but shout babies. Out to my mom, the greatest nurse of all time.
Nurses are the best, though.
Agreed.
I had to get a C-section. I felt like the nurses were my lifeline. They were so cool.
Oh, my gosh.
They taught me how to breastfeed.
Hashtag been there.
What? Been there?
Hashtag been there. Yeah, girl. And it was an unplanned one, which TMI, not the most fun.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Yeah. Mine was too. Let's just say Pitocin wasn't doing much for me.
Yeah, me too. And I was Thanksgiving Eve when I was induced. And then my surgeon came in and she goes, okay, listen, if we get you... You know, if we schedule a C-section for 5 a.m., I can get my turkey in the oven before 7. And I was like, your turkey is not my main concern.
I thought you were going to say that Anita comes in and does the surgery. And she's like, I don't know what to tell you. Your baby is a turkey. Like, we're going to have.
How cute would that be?
We delivered
and now that turkey's just a whole third grader, just like raised it as my own.
Yeah. So, you know. Thanksgiving. So that means your child's birthday is around this fraught time in American history. But what isn't a fraught time?
Well, I do believe the play you wrote is either set during Thanksgiving or there's implications of like a large family event.
There's definitely implications of a large family event. That much is for sure.
I guess I'm mixing up with like August Osage County, which is a Thanksgiving play.
A huge inspiration and a touchstone.
Absolutely.
Did you see the movie?
Can I ask you one?
Yes.
One question. I did see the movie with my family. Upsetting movie. What is John Early like as a person?
John Early. I mean, listen, he's funny. He's silly.
Yeah.
You're gonna riff. You're gonna laugh. You're gonna learn.
Yeah.
You might eat.
Okay.
John Early actually cooked for me and my husband a few times years ago. He made
That's
a cacio e pepe with just about 5 times too much pepper. And it was just really
funny.
You
were early on the cacio e pepe trend.
Yes. Yes. Trendsetter. And you know what? It was extremely peppery and it was just funny eating it. No, this is good. This is good. And also he made something with like a poached pear. I don't know why he was cooking for us on multiple occasions. Now it seems strange, but that was pre-child. You know, you had the time to eat a poached
right.
pear.
Yeah, I remember the era. The era was different.
But the pears didn't soften. So they were really hard.
Oh God.
It was just funny because like he loves food. I love food. But for whatever reason, there was a couple mishaps that felt notorious in nature. All right. Well, listen, you know,
yeah.
When John gets a podcast, you can fucking call him. Okay.
Next. I get it. Next caller. Chelsea, you're an inspiration. You're a hero. You're the best Chelsea of us all.
You are. Goodbye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. you'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
I don't see the... Oh, there's gotta go.
Ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.
All right. Hello?
Hello. Oh, a conference call.
Hello.
What do you mean a conference
call?
Hello. Hello. Who is on the call? Who all is on the call?
She picked up.
Oh my goodness, no, ladies.
We were gonna leave a voicemail.
Okay. Hold on. I'll give you a beep. Well, it's gonna be a ding, but leave your voicemail. Go.
Kelsey, the amount of hours that I've spent listening to your podcast, days, months, years.
That's crazy. So wait, who are the two of you? Where are you calling from?
We're on a three-way.
You guys are falling apart.
Fucking picked up.
You're absolutely falling apart. I want you.
I'm Caroline. And this is Deb.
This is Deb. I'm Deb. Yeah.
Deb, you're all Deb.
Oh my god. Yes.
Deb. No, I'm Caroline. Can you hear me?
Okay, Caroline. Deb.
Yes.
Yo, how are you?
Oh my goodness.
Ring, 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 ring. Goodbye. Oh my god. Remember that? Can you play one of your sounds?
Yes, please.
Ding, 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 ding. Looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.
Yeah. Holy shit. I have been with you since the beginning, Chelsea.
That's what's honestly keeping me going with you is I don't want to punish you for the chaos. I want to engage with Deb and Carolyn or whatever and like really get to know you ladies on this party line. Now I'm gonna take a goosey guess that you haven't been attacked by an animal, but have each of you been attacked? Also, who's the third person? I only know about Deb and Carolyn.
No, you're the third person.
Oh, okay. So have you been attacked by an animal?
A male human animal, maybe.
Oh, gosh. Come on, Deb, Caroline. Haven't we all?
Oh, it's the worst.
It is.
We're calling from two different states.
Wow.
We are.
The tech on this call.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's crazy.
What is Andy Samberg like?
Oh my god. God, I tried. I don't know. I don't know where to go from here. I need these animal stories. I'm building up to a big grand finale here on the podcast. I'm trying to see what people are saying on Instagram in response to the post. Someone goes, a swan attacked me when I was 6 and my Royal Marine grandfather punched it in the face. Honestly, don't even think of swans as having faces. I feel like once you have a beak, it doesn't feel like a face anymore. At least that's my personal story. Okay, so grandfather punched a swan. That's got to be a rough moment in your childhood. Let's see who this is. Hello?
Hi, is that Josh?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm okay. I'm getting there. I saw that you were looking at animal stories.
That's right.
Mine is sort of like a proxy animal story.
Okay, we're taking proxies. We're taking proxies today.
Okay, so I should explain. I used to be a doctor, and when I was working in ER, we'd get lots of different patients coming through.
Oh, yeah. That'd be weird if you didn't.
Yeah, it was high frequency. And unfortunately, one time a child came in. How much detail and gore are you guys into?
I'm pretty good with it. I'm pretty good.
Okay. Yeah, so I was sort of expecting... I just heard on the kind of the tannoy that, you know, a child has been in an incident with the dog, and they're coming in a couple of minutes to get ready. So I go,
oh my gosh,
totally short.
Yeah.
There's like an 18-month-old.
Oh my gosh, this is horrible.
It's bad. And I get there, and he's sitting on the bed in his nappy. And from the side that I enter the room, he's not making any noise, but just like, you know, chilling with his parents, and I'm a bit confused. And then I go around and I can start to see his face, and half of the face is gone.
No, oh my God, this is a nightmare. I think I've changed.
Yeah.
I think I've changed. Wait, is there any fix for that?
So he had to have lots of reconstructive surgery, and thankfully he was fine. They, you know, gave him painkillers and he was able to regain the ability to talk and eat. But yeah, I'd never seen that in the flesh, and I didn't realize the power of like a dog's jaw could literally just do that. But
was it their dog?
It was, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Once you have a kid, I do feel like you just got to put the kid first. And wow, that is terrifying. Horrible.
Yeah, so sorry for bringing the tone down.
No, this is
down,
the thing. Like, I've been realizing, like, with, like, hey, tell me these crazy, horrible stories. It's like, there's a fine line. You actually, it's no longer funny once it ruins or greatly affects the rest of someone's life, you know?
Exactly.
But God, that's awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you able to hold yourself together? Did you start crying? Like, how do doctors not cry all the time?
So when I used to work in intensive care, it was very upsetting, unfortunately, because a lot of people are very, very sick and a lot of people die. It's not just the fact that you kind of see them deteriorate very rapidly over the course of a couple of days. So you're talking to them and then they're gone within a couple of days, but you also have to speak with their families. And that's the part I struggled with. Like seeing a lot of families and, you know, speaking to parents and children and relatives and just telling them the worst news that they've had to do on a regular basis. But yeah, I guess it's balanced with, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you can save someone's life from the extreme. Yeah, it's, you know, it's not easy, but it's possible.
I'm not like, I am just not of the constitution for that kind of thing. At one time I did a tour with someone and we went to visit a veterans hospital, and there was just similarly horrific injuries present on people. And I was just like, had to walk out of rooms. I would start like tearing up. I'm like, this is the worst thing I could possibly do is come cry in someone's room. You know, I feel like it's a special person that can give the support that people need without being shattered by it. Well, great call. Really funny. Listen, should I hit my classic?
Ding ding ding. Uh-oh, looks like we're out of time. Goodbye.
Thank you for that raucous journey into the ER.
Oh, you're welcome. Wolf Blitzer. We love
always.
You.
Always. Wolf. All right, bye. Well, that was fucking dark. God. Okay. Well, we have our special call coming up, and I could not be more excited. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
You're Chris Leonards.
I am.
I'm Chelsea. Nice to meet you. Now, I don't know if you are up to speed on the fact that this podcast has, for many years, I was searching for a bear attack survivor. And I don't know why that is. And I recognize I'm not alone in this fascination. But for us to have you, and us being really me, but I'm going to include my new producer, Laura. This is a huge coup to have you on the podcast. Now, I don't want to, you have encountered a bear in the flesh. This was in Tahoe, which, as I'm reading about it, Tahoe seems to have a lot of bear interaction that people are having. Walk me through your story. Do you live in Tahoe? Let's hear the whole story.
Absolutely. First of all, have you seen pictures? Because that, if you don't,
no.
I will have to send you some pictures because they're insane.
Oh, no. I did see the pictures that were assembled on this little, I'm assuming it was a viral post
crime theme.
Yes. I want to talk about that. First, I want the callers to know your story, and then we should talk about those pictures.
So I don't live in Tahoe. I live in Los Angeles.
Oh, okay.
I write music for movies and TV.
Oh, cool.
And friends of ours who are also in the entertainment business, who are dear friends, they called at middle of August and said, hey, we rented this cabin in Tahoe. Do you want to all get tested? Because it was COVID time, and go up and let's hibernate for a week.
Yeah.
I shouldn't use that word, I guess, but
well, let's hibernate. Maybe you should.
I should. So let's hibernate for a week and then go to Tahoe and, be in the cabin and play on the lake and do all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we ended up driving from LA to Tahoe, and so 9 hours up, and I had at the time a 12-year-old and a 7-year-old.
Okay.
And so we went up there and met our friends, who are a couple with no kids, but they have two dogs. And then there's another couple that had a 3-year-old. And
a lot of kids,
pets, and
dogs. Yeah. Okay.
And it was right at the beginning of COVID. So it was pretty desolate. Like, it was like nobody out there. And we had actually had a lot of fires earlier that week and the week before in Tahoe. So the skies were super hazy. You couldn't see much. So on Sunday, we got there and we all moved in. And it's a big, huge A-frame cabin with 3 floors. And the middle floor is the one that went to the street. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the door to the main door to the cabin is, plus some sliding doors in the kitchen. So we basically had a great 3 or 4 days and got to Wednesday, and the smog started clearing. And my 7-year-old, my daughter Vesper, said, let's sleep outside. I heard you were going to be able to see shooting stars now that the clouds have cleared. And I was like, great. Sounds like a fantastic idea. I mean, what do I know? I'm from Los Angeles. So I said, great, let's do that. And we pulled the mattress down and put it right on this deck. And we ended up sleeping outside on Wednesday and had an amazing, amazing night, saw some shooting stars.
Yeah.
And that was great. And so Thursday came around. We spent the whole day on the lake as well, tubing and doing all that good stuff. And at night, one of the guys we were with decided he made tacos and s'mores and everything. Huge dinner, lots of sweet treats and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so we're up late, and Vesper said, let's sleep outside again. And I said, great, no problem. So basically everybody goes to bed around 11:30. Yeah. Everything's dark. I'm in bed. We're outside looking at the stars and the front of the house. And so basically at about, I don't know, maybe 11:45, Vesper fell asleep, and I heard a big boom on the right side of the house. And I said, okay, I'm going to go check it out. So I grabbed my phone.
Was your first thought like, this is an intruder? Or was your first thought, this is a bear? Did you have any kind of guess?
My first thought was like, oh, something fell out of the tree. Or I certainly thought maybe there was something around, but I didn't really go to bear right away. But I went around and I shined my phone and didn't see anything.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm going to go back to bed. So I crawled back into bed. And when I got back into bed, I started hearing a lot of rummaging around in the house.
Yeah.
And I just assume, okay, well, it's Dave who's upstairs. He's making a sandwich. He came down.
Yeah.
And then I started hearing like tickety tackety on the floor. And I was like, oh, he must have brought the dogs down with him.
Yeah.
And, you know, 4 or 5 minutes went by and then I started getting really freaked out. I was like, wait a second. Why didn't he turn the lights on? Why is he being so loud making a sandwich? And why is it taking him so long? So I decided to get up again and I basically walked around. There's two big sliding doors that look into the dining room and kitchen of this cabin. So I walked in and or walked around and I shined my light through these two glass doors. And the fridge doors were open, the freezer doors were open. There was food like everywhere. It was a disaster, complete mess, disaster all over the place. And so I was like, oh my God. And I kept hearing, I still heard the noise. So I, at this point I was like, I think I still thought it was probably a raccoon or something.
Yeah.
So scanned over and shined the light. There was a big cabinet, which is where all the crackers and cookies and stuff were. And there was a ginormous bear whose head was in this cabinet, and there were literally cookies flying out past its head. And I just, I was like, oh my God. So I shoved the phone back in my pajamas. And I was like, ran over, scooped up my seven-year-old in my right arm, put her on my hip and just said, there's a bear in the house. Don't say anything. We're getting out of here. And then I started to run toward around towards the right side where you get out towards.
Wait, now isn't, don't they say not to run?
But it didn't see me.
Okay. But they are supposed to have actually, like an incredible sense of smell.
They do have an incredible, which of course is why this whole thing happened. And I'll tell you why later, but so basically I went running around and in the meantime, I'm sitting there going, my other kid and my wife are downstairs and there's another family with a three-year-old behind the kitchen where the bear is.
Yeah.
I need to find a way to warn them. So I realized there was the main door to the house, which is on the side, was a big, huge wooden door. I said, that's the safest. And so I went to the front door with my kid on my hip and I went to go and slam on the door because I was just going to scream bear like 5 times and slam on the door as hard as I could. And then when I looked and just to the left of the door is a window that's been basically broken out the bear was staring straight at me from the inside of the house.
So it was standing in front of the open window with its back to the window?
No, it was standing on the other side of the window because it was in the house. So it was looking outside towards me because I was out of the house.
Oh, okay.
So it was looking straight at me on the other side of the window.
I just keep asking you like spatial questions.
No, it makes
okay,
perfect
so
sense.
The window, how big was the window? No, I'm just kidding. Okay, so you're outside, the bear's inside. Now you're on your way to run out with your child, right?
Yes.
And so what happens?
So the bear sees me obviously and just starts to roar or whatever it is that the bears do. And
see,
I look
I have
to the
a
left
bear roar. Did it sound like this?
It sounded exactly like that.
Really? That's scary.
Super loud, scary. And with a 7-year-old on my hip who is now completely freaking out.
Right.
So right in front, there was one of those huge push brooms that you like sweep decks with. And so I just grabbed this broom and just started slamming it through this door or through this window right on this bear's face.
But now why did you change your approach from leaving to fighting the bear?
Because it was obviously going to come after me.
It was going to jump through the window.
It was like 2 feet away from me. And my kid was, I knew I couldn't outrun it. And I also knew that the rest of my family and all my friends were in this house and I needed to let the bear. So, I start screaming and I'm hitting this bear and I got like, I don't know, 4 or 5 hits in and it lunged in and basically bit my arm and I dropped the broom and I don't know how long I had my arm for, but eventually it let go. And when it let go, I spun around and put my daughter in front of me and then started running as fast as I could back around the other side of the deck away from the window. You know, just making sure that he would have to get through me to get to my kid.
When the bear bites your arm, is your daughter like screaming? What is
no dead silent, just really? Like white as a ghost, eyes as big as saucers.
Oh my God.
I, on the other hand, am screaming my tail off, bear, bear, bear.
Were you in such adrenaline that you couldn't really feel it or did it hurt like a bitch?
Didn't feel a thing.
Really? That's crazy. That's
literally felt nothing. Yeah, I it was all a blur. I didn't feel anything.
Have you seen show called I Was Prey?
Should I?
No,
should
it's I not? Honestly not. I'm not going to say it's great, but there is so much discussion of like these horrific injuries and people being like, I didn't feel it at all until much later. Yeah. It's crazy that your body just creates this adrenaline where you can't feel it when you don't, when you need to not feel it, you know?
It totally did. I mean, I just immediately was doing things. I wasn't really thinking, and I was, yeah. So it was insane.
Yeah.
So I, by the time I made it around, and here's where actually your spatial question about the window is really smart.
Good.
Because my daughter, who was looking over my shoulder as I was running away, said that apparently the bear was too chubby to fit through the window easily. So that bought us like an extra 7 or 8 seconds before it wiggled out and managed to come through. By that time, we had gone around and it broke through the rest of the deck and ran back out in the forest.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Relax this Sunday with a little moment to yourself and the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Because what would you have done if you and your daughter get out and then you just see it go upstairs or wherever the other people are?
I have no idea. I don't think it would, because so when we got back in the house, all the lights were on by now because I had woken everybody up and everything was on. I put her down and there was literally blood flying all over the place,
right? Because it must have hit an artery or something, because like the little I know about blood, it looked like it was spattered all over. The photos I will post to our Instagram with your permission, but it just looked like absolute, like it looked like it was like a cartoon of like, you know. But again, like, you know, I've seen bear attacks where people do lose like their face, or obviously they could be fatal. So, you know, it seems to me your level of bear attack is kind of the perfect level for this podcast, certainly, but for life, if you have to be attacked by a bear, one arm bite. I mean, do you have a scar? It's really small
and it's not so bad. Crazy. And actually that's so when they finally, you know, the ranger came, and one of the things he said was, obviously we should not have left the s'more stuff out on the counter. First thing for anybody who's going anywhere near Tahoe, don't leave sweets out on the counter and close all the windows. But the other thing he said is that the bear always goes out the way it comes in. It especially is not happy when you interrupt its dinner. So basically I interrupted its dinner and I was standing right in front of the window it went in on. Right. Which was
trying to leave, maybe.
Exactly. But that's why no one thought it would go back in once it got out. So they took me to the hospital in Truckee. And I was there all night.
Is
and
that
they
a
did,
good hospital?
They were great. That's they were amazing. Awesome. Yeah, it's small. It's not a big one, but they probably
see a fair amount of bear attacks. I should be calling the Truckee Hospital and be like, feed me, people, feed me.
The funny thing was, is they said there aren't that many. And the doctor who treated me had been there 12 years and had never treated a bear attack.
Really? Because when I was like kind of looking around online, it did seem like there was a number of them in Tahoe, but maybe they weren't making contact. It was just sort of,
there's a bear in a car.
One lady had a bear in her car. Like, was that a bachelorette party? Did you see that one?
I think I've seen similar. And even the ranger who who got to us said that on that same street that we were on, like a month or two before, a bear had broken into a car and actually put the car in neutral, and it literally dripped. It had gone like a mile down the road, slammed into someone's front porch. So they came out of their house and the bear was literally in the driver's seat.
Wow. That's
kind of
cool.
Nuts. apparently there's 41 bear attacks per year is sort of what they had, at least the year before I got
attacked. It's not nothing, you know?
It's not nothing, but it's not a lot. But what he did say, though, apparently the year before in South Lake Tahoe, there was one that was fatal. And that was one. And what he said was, I was super lucky that it was on the other side of the window, because if it was not, it would have used its claws, and it's like Wolverine. So it's, you know, full. Right. So you'd like just die instantly. So actually, if you're going to get attacked by a bear, you apparently want it to bite you and not swipe you. That's the
other
thing.
Why can't it do both? Bite your arm and then swipe you. I mean, in this case,
it can,
the window.
Except they couldn't reach
We've
through
already
the window.
Established the spatial situation here with the window was preventing the chubby bear from swiping you. But well, what a crazy story. Now, does your daughter, was she having nightmares? Was she traumatized? Was she like, this is so cool that you fought off a bear? What was the last
thing? Literally yes to all of that. Yeah. Like it was at the beginning, it was intense. We even had to stay there one more night because I couldn't travel. So like we had to stay, and we like locked ourselves in the upstairs room with like bear horns and like craziness. And she didn't sleep at all. She was traumatized for a long. I don't think she slept with the lights off for about 9 months.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
And she still sleeps with us, and that's five years ago. But that said, we had an amazing therapist that we found right away, who basically immediately went into telling her about how so many cultures believe that if you have an intense run-in with a wild animal, it's because they picked you, and they're in Kauai, they call it amakua. So it's like it's the animal picks you because you have similar traits. And so she did a lot of learning that like bears are strong and they're loyal and they protect their family and they're super smart. And things like that.
The therapist was basically calling you a bear.
Kinda.
Yeah.
And, you know, calling her a bear, calling my daughter a bear.
Right.
And saying that's your spirit animal. And so that sort of like it, she, so over the next 2 years, she ended up like writing about it and drawing about it. We're a super artistic family and the kids are artistic and she renamed it. So it was named Chomper. This bear has a name called Chomper.
That's cute.
And so I mean, it was actually, you know, it was super traumatizing, obviously, for her. But I think, you know, we all came out pretty well. I certainly felt kind of like a superhero after it. So
yeah,
I felt, you know, the doctor on the way out was like, "Are you sure you're okay?" And I'm like, I just fought a bear. My kid and I are still alive. I go, I think someone needs to drive me to Reno.
Yeah.
So I can put about
you. Were, I can put, I'm euphoric.
Yeah, but I'm so, like the luckiest man on the planet.
When the bloody arm went all over the cabin, did you have to do a tourniquet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And you knew how to do that?
I didn't. The guys who I was with, they apparently, at least they thought they knew how to do it. They did. They ripped up t-shirts and towels and did all that kind of stuff. And they're super good friends of mine. And I don't know. I think we've watched a lot of movies.
Right.
And stuff,
you're so, like tourniquet.
So like, I can do this.
Yeah. Gotta do a tourniquet. That's like a classic trope of any kind of limb injury.
Exactly.
Wow. And then do you know what type of bear it was?
Yeah. So it was definitely a black bear, but it was brown because they don't have brown bears in Tahoe apparently, and brown bears are like grizzly, and I would have been toast right away.
Yeah,
but it was probably like 300 or 400 pounds. And then the ranger sent me a text about 3 weeks after with an ABC ABC news story that there was a Quickie Mart at the bottom of that same hill.
Yeah,
and they had visual that a bear had gone into the Quickie Mart and grabbed a bunch of like Twinkies and stuff. And then the guy behind the counter had like shoved him out with a broom. And he sent me this picture. He's like, "Hey, is that your guy?" And I was like, it looked just like the same size, same shades, kind of like a reddish brown.
And they don't euthanize. I know a lot of these situations, they euthanize the bear if they get too many.
They did. They put a trap out the day we left. And they didn't catch it before we left. And they never told, apparently they never let us know if they catch it. The plan was, you know, it was one of the traps where like the door flies shut. So then they would just drive it way out and hopefully put it somewhere else, I think, hopefully. But yeah, they definitely need to move it out of the area though, because they said if it would know that that there's food in that house.
Listen, once it knows about refrigerators and freezers, why is it going to be like eating huckleberries or whatever? I don't know. I identify with the bear. No, I'm just kidding. I have to hit the jackpot sound effect because this is the biggest moment of my podcast. Thank you. You did it. You did it. You did it.
Hold on, dude. Sounds like Reno.
It's Reno. It's Reno. Anything else you care to add? What did you say to watch? Pick?
Oh,
something
no.
About bear attacks. Did you say to watch something called Pick or something? Have you seen Pick? I think
you saw the picture.
I wrote down Pick. I was like, it's a movie. And then I realized it was you were talking about the pictures. But I'm going to go searching on IMDb for Pick. And
here's the other crazy thing is I did get a call at one point when they were looking for composers for Cocaine Bear.
Oh, my God. That would have been perfect.
I don't know. I don't know if I was, I knew I was super busy. So I was like, I don't know that that's the one I want to get into right now. But
it wasn't too close to home. Was it like too PTSD for you?
I don't think it would have been. But they thought, my agents thought it was. They're like, I don't know.
They're like, dude, we got the perfect thing, man. Agents, so we just think literally. That's like when after I did Gina on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they're like, we got a secretary. Like I kept getting offers for secretaries. I was just like, this is like so uncreative. But hey, that's Hollywood for you.
Right. And I do the music for that show, The Boys, which is very bloody. And so now everyone says that, you know, that obviously I can relate. And
you're like, the king of gore.
I don't really want to relate.
I have to point out that you just said I do do.
Oh, I always do.
Listen, don't we all? Don't we all? This, I can't tell you how thankful I am that you came on here and told your story. It's seriously been something, a money shot that has been building for years. So yes. I appreciate you. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad your daughter is making, you know, lemonade out of the situation and all that. And maybe I'll see you out there in Itchwood.
Awesome. I hope it was fun. But definitely, yeah, post the pictures. You have total permission.
Okay, it's great. Thank you. Crazy. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Awesome to meet you. Take care.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies to steal a moment for yourself before the week ahead. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, stay connected wherever you go and transform your vehicle into a dependable Wi-Fi hotspot. Powering applications like real-time GPS and voice assistant, navigation becomes a breeze. Even on the practice field, AT&T in-car Wi-Fi keeps you connected while in proximity of your vehicle. Work, stream shows, or finish homework without missing a beat. See if you're eligible for a free trial at att.com/in-car Wi-Fi. Don't let connectivity be a roadblock in your journey. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use when vehicle is in operation, compatible device and vehicle required.
Hey, what's up, Chelsea? This is Aaron. I was just calling to tell you about the time that I got attacked by a dog and it ripped my face up. And Well, I guess that's pretty much it. Yeah, I mean, the story is I was like a child. I was like 7, and my neighbor's Rottweiler had attacked me and ripped my ear off. But yeah, that's about it. Bye.
Okay, so we're listening to voicemails here. I want to now know what happened to that guy's ear. Does it get reattached? I mean, it's also just crazy. Like, everyone, like, I have so many people in my life, like, don't be scared of this or that, or whatever. Like, I'm so cautious with dogs I don't know. And honestly, I learned my lesson from a small dog. I was in New York, and this lady was holding a dog over her shoulder, and I was like, hey, cutie, or something. And it was like, and I was like, oh, yeah, like, I don't know this dog. And, you know, dogs attack, and dogs, if you don't know a dog, you don't know what it's going to be like. So, I don't know. I just can't believe that guy lost his ear and that kid lost. I mean, these are horrific things. I think I want to know the situation in which his ear got ripped off. Was it his dog? I mean, I really do want this person to call in again.
Hey, Chelsea. My name's Melina, and my animal encounter is one for the book. The year was 1967. I was 5 years old. There was a miniature chimpanzee on display at the pet shop.
What the
in
hell?
Brooklyn on Flushing Avenue. It escaped, I don't know how, ran across the street and bit me in the leg.
Oh my God.
True story. And everyone always says I was bit by a monkey, but no, it was a miniature chimpanzee. Be well.
Be well. Wait a minute. How are the voicemails the most amazing stories? And the people who got through were like, a squirrel looked at me once. No, a squirrel looked at my best friend's brother, but it had menace in its eyes, I think, from the story. And then people are like, I was attacked by a chimp. My ear was pulled off. What the fuck?
Chelsea Peretti, Jack Bull from Toronto, Ontario, Canada. My wild animal story when I was a boy, not yet a man, about maybe 18, 19 years of age. I was walking around by a park called High Park here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Saw the smallest, babyest raccoon I ever did see in my whole wild life. Went down to go give it a little pet and a pat. Was warned by a staunch and angry businessman, full man in a suit and a briefcase with long, curly hair. He said, you don't want to touch that thing. I said, why? Is its mother going to abandon it? He said, no. They have razor sharp claws, and they'll cut you open like a tin can. A tin can, I said. He reassured me it would cut me open like a tin can. So I said, okay, and I continued on my way. And every 2 steps or so, the businessman would turn around and warned me once again about how dangerous baby raccoons are. And this went on for the better part of 10 minutes until he was basically shouting at me from like 100 yards away about how dangerous the baby raccoon was. Anyway, that's my wild animal story. Keep up the good work, Chelsea. Love you lots. Bye.
That wild animal story had a lot of the energy and feel of The Rat Catcher, which is now on Netflix. Roald Dahl story, directed by Wes Anderson. I enjoyed it. It had that same kind of ominous, slow, repetitive, strange feel as that voicemail. So maybe Wes Anderson can adapt it and you'll be off to the races.
Hi, Chelsea. It's Caroline.
Oh my God, that's funny. Don't stop it.
Also, Deb. Hi. We're on the conference call, and we just wanted to say that we're big fans of the show. Just wanted to say hi.
That we're calling from 2 different places.
Yeah, we're calling from Colorado and New York. And that we just like, sorry for the chaos. We just like didn't expect you to pick us. like the amount of sweat coming from my palms when you picked us.
My heart. Oh my God.
Like,
my
you
heart.
Could call me back if you wanted
I'm
to.
I'm good.
My number is 315.
We love you so much.
My number is
Deb, Carolyn.
Okay, we love you. Bye.
Bye, Chelsea. Bye.
Honestly, infectiously happy. And that would be so funny, though, if that was the start of a horror movie and I just started calling them all night long every night. Ring, ring, ring. And Deb's like, I can't live like this. And Carolyn's like, no more. And they never giggle again. No, they seem great.
So my friend Marissa, she's really more of a loose acquaintance. So I got to tighten this up, I guess. Okay. So she was at my house. We were on the porch. She saw a skunk. She started freaking the fuck out. And I was like, oh my God. You know, she has like skunk trauma of some kind. And then she's like, it's just, I got sprayed in the face by a skunk. So I was like, oh my God, this must have happened when she was a child, because how else does this happen to a person? And then the skunk eventually passed and she told us the story. She was a fucking adult. She was in Boston. And she saw a skunk, but she thought it was a stray cat, and she approached it from behind and realized it was a skunk too late, started screaming when she realized it's a skunk. So her mouth was open and the skunk sprayed her right into her mouth. Like the skunk oils and shit that they spray went into her mouth.
Oh,
and she said
God.
It was the grossest thing ever. And she had to drink like a gallon of marinara sauce to like get it out of her mouth.
Ugh.
And like
a skunk alla marinara.
She had a traumatic meltdown. But I just couldn't believe that she, as a full grown adult, got sprayed in the mouth by a skunk.
Skunk juice marinara. I wonder if that would cure the COVID thing where you can't taste anything. They discover that's the one cure. Can you imagine? I don't know what sounds worse, chugging a gallon of marinara or getting a skunk spray. Skunk. Well, I feel like the mojo of voicemail people to callers was yet again a reflection on the failures of this podcast. Almost feels like you want to pre-set up calls, but then you got to schedule like every 5 minutes. You don't know how long the call's going to go. So what do? You have people waiting, I guess, if you're at a radio show. I don't know that we have the capacity here at Call Chelsea Peretti, but what a journey it is to be again on this wild ride of organizational chaos. I think we've learned that dogs are varying in their level of kindness and danger. And skunks can get you right in your smacker. And what else did we learn? Well, first of all, I mean, getting this bear attack survivor call, I have to say once again, the buildup to that moment. I mean, what a coup. What a... What a jackpot. And as you can see, the tech on this reboot is superb. Bears, what's going to happen? I've seen some bear attack videos. I know that a lot of people are obsessed with this, and I've seen some where I'm like, this is veering away from comedy. So I am really like, I think we had a perfect level, just a child traumatized for 5-6 years. Listen, it's hard. It's hard being a parent, but that's not what this podcast is about. Let's look at my notes here. A lot to figure out with our sound effects, but we'll get there. And thank you to our callers who've suffered indignities of all varying sizes from creatures of all varying sizes. And what a journey to be back in the saddle, as it were, to use another animal metaphor. taking these calls, reconnecting, and trying to make sense of this little marble in the universe. This little marble in the universe that we are perched on like a bunch of ants. What does it all mean? We don't know, but that's what this podcast aims to unpack. What's the meaning of life? What are we doing here? Should we live in fear? Where's the joy? Where's the laughs? When this podcast finally wraps up, it's going to be like Lost. There's going to be no answers, but my God, we're going to search. We're going to raise questions. And it's going to be a fun experiment. I call this a social experiment more than a podcast. So get your beakers, get your lab coats, and let's get our eyedroppers and start adding a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and see if we can make ourselves a test tube baby. Remember when people used to say that? Now it's just babies. Times change. All right. Thanks, everyone. I gotta get into my Miata, custom color Miata, and head off to Malibu.
Need an easy button to feed your baby? Baby Brezza's Formula Pro Advanced makes a perfectly mixed warm formula bottle automatically at the push of a button. No air bubbles, no fuss. Literally, choose your temp, select your ounces, push start, and you're done. Works with virtually all formulas and bottles. Say goodbye to the 3 a.m. feeding chaos and hello to this revolutionary stress-free solution. Raising a baby is hard enough. Let Baby Brezza make feeding a breeze. Get your Formula Pro Advanced at babybrezza.com.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Awards Watch says Liam Neeson is at his best. Don't miss In the Land of Saints and Sinners. Having left his dark past behind, retired hitman Finbar Murphy, played by Neeson, leads a quiet life in a remote coastal Irish town. But when a menacing crew of terrorists arrive, Finbar is drawn into a vicious game of cat and mouse, forcing him to choose between exposing his secret identity or defending his friends and neighbors. In the Land of Saints and Sinners, from Samuel Goldwyn Films and Sony Pictures Home Entertainment. Watch it now on digital. Rated R.